Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
Trent Williams is holding out. Brandon Ayuk is holding in. We'll talk about that, plus everything from today's training camp practice and more, next on 49ers After Dark. Yo, what's up? Welcome to 49ers After Dark, presented by Via Hemp. That's Jesse Naylor. I'm Grant Cohn. And we're going a little earlier today because practice just ended a few hours ago and we need to get right into it. There's breaking news. Trent Williams, not there. We were all talking about Brandon Ayuk every day because he made it public that he wanted money. But apparently Trent Williams wants more money too. And he's a much bigger deal than Brandon Ayuk. No offense to Brandon. So we're going to start with Trent Williams, who didn't even show up. He's like, I'm extremely rich. Go ahead and find me. I'm not getting off my butt. Give me some money. What do you think of what Trent Williams is doing holding out?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that surprising that he's... It wouldn't be surprising if he was holding in. Let me say that. If he was holding in and just saying, hey, I want to rework, much like you did with Christian McCaffrey, doesn't really have any guaranteed money left, that actually makes a lot of sense. However, holding out completely and just not showing up, that's kind of interesting. I mean, you would think that the relationship with Kyle and Trent would be on that really high level. If you remember correctly, when Trent was a free agent, he almost went to Kansas City and he called Kyle and was like, listen, I'm about to go. Can you make this happen? Here's what I'm looking for. And they did. So the fact that he's not there at all is a little bit surprising. And really, they all admitted it. It was Fred Warner, Brock Purdy. Everybody was like, listen, yeah, it's a contract thing. So it's not like he was at his kid's dance recital or a graduation or something like that, and it was excused. He genuinely is looking for a rework of his deal. It's like, man, this offseason's been full of players getting paid, wanting to get paid, and really taking a quote-unquote selfish route. Don't blame them at all. You only have one chance at this. But at the same time, it is surprising for a team that is trying to get over the hump and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, and they all admitted that they were caught off guard, which is interesting. It seems like the Niners have been caught off guard by a few things this offseason. I mean, they kind of bungled the Eric Armstead situation. Now this, what's interesting also is they saw the Brandon Ayuk situation coming. Ayuk made it very public how he felt. And the 49ers responded by drafting a wide receiver in round one, just in case. It's like, look, man, you are not going to hold us hostage here. We are going to be okay one way or another and offer you what we feel is fair. They didn't do that at offensive tackle. They took no offensive tackles. Zero. They drafted a guard. I'm feeling if they had known, which they said they didn't, that Trent Williams might hold out, they might draft an offensive tackle in round two, as opposed to a nickelback they don't necessarily need, considering that Isaac Yiadom looked really, really good today. And Lenore can play in the slot. So, seems like they didn't plan this one through.
Yeah, but it does seem, and we've talked about this a few years ago, actually, where are the 49ers proactive or reactive? And yeah, certainly if they would have known, maybe they would have gone out and gotten somebody else. But also, Trent Williams misses games every year. And when he does, they don't tend to win. You add in the fact that he is much closer to the end of his playing career than he is the beginning. It's right around the corner. So why wouldn't you be proactive and draft his replacement anyways? Worst case scenario, to me, if they had drafted a guy in the first round and redshirted him, knowing you have Trent Williams, I think that would have been a lot more acceptable than drafting a wide receiver and potentially redshirting him. Although he will get snaps, but not many, I would assume.
Niners have been talking a lot about leverage this offseason, or maybe not them directly, but
yeah,
people talking for them about how they have all the leverage over Brandon Ayuk. Well, they didn't have any leverage over Christian McCaffrey. McCaffrey made it known that he wanted an extension and got that in like 2 weeks because I guess the Niners felt, you know, they're nothing without Christian. Well, Trent, smart guy, great player, better player than Christian McCaffrey. Older, 36 years old, but I mean, arguably the most important player on the team. They're 3-6 without him. So he looks at what they did, at what McCaffrey did, how the Niners responded. I'm sure he's thinking, huh? That's all it takes to get an extension around here is just say you want one and be great. Well, I'm great and I want one.
Yeah.
So give me the freaking extension. And I wonder if the like, what can the Niners do? Like, can they say, no, you're 36? Or do they have to say, well, what do you want?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably going to have to open up the checkbook. And here's the thing. It's good in the short term, much like the CMC deal was, where they're going to save some money. But in 2 years, let's say he retires in 2 years, and then they move on from CMC in 2 years, that's two players that they're going to owe some money to not even be on the books anymore. And it's like, well, yeah, the salary cap's going up, but every time you do this, you continue to put yourself in a situation where you're going to be paying players that are no longer here. At some point, that catches up to you. I don't know. I don't like the strategy, but what else are you going to do? If you want to win a Super Bowl, you need CMC and you need Trent Williams. You kind of got to just pay him.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The Niners have been talking again about leverage. Like, they don't have to pay Brandon Ayuk, but they're in the situation where they're keeping Brandon Ayuk kind of against his will because they have to make this one last run at the Super Bowl while they have everyone here. And it seems like all the best players on the team are leveraging the Niners about that. Like, oh, you really want to prove that you're a Super Bowl champion. Like, okay, then give me an extension. You really want to keep this together, this team together one more year, then pay me. I think that maybe the front office, maybe the coaching staff kind of misread this team. Like, oh, this is a group, a really tight group that understands how close they are to the Super Bowl and will continue to sacrifice so they can all become champions. And now it's kind of like, no, pay us. This is a business. And we're done with that stage of our career. We all did that. And now it's time for all of us to get paid. And not just, it's funny, like, it was like Ayuk's turn to get paid. It's like, hey, sorry, big guy, my turn. Sorry, Brandon, Trent Williams. I'm better than you. I'm going to get that extension first. And it's just like four or five players have done that to Brandon. Like, hey, man, we really like you, buddy, but I come first.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way it's been played. But, you know, when it comes to negotiations, it really is every man for themselves. And Trent Williams, knowing that he's going to miss time, knowing he's, what, 36, almost 37, however old, having no guaranteed money, I mean, that's a scary place to be. And it is a business. Imagine he stepped foot on the field today and ruptured his Achilles. You think the 49ers would hesitate to get rid of him, be like, see ya? No, they wouldn't care. So why not protect yourself? He's got to do it. I understand it. I do.
I just think it's kind of funny that the Niners drafted a wide receiver in round one that they didn't need because they were so concerned about Brandon Ayuk potentially holding out, even though if he held out, they'd still have some of the best weapons in the league across the board. And they didn't think through, like, well, what about if the left tackle holds out? You got nothing.
Yeah.
You got, if he holds out, you have the worst offensive line in the league. Your running game doesn't work. Your passing game doesn't work. Like, you are screwed. It's worse to lose him than it is to lose Brock Purdy. I think.
Yeah.
And that's your quarterback, and he's really freaking good, and the backup is really not. That's how important Trent Williams is. And the Niners didn't think this through. They didn't see this coming, but they were so focused on the wide receiver position. Gotta be set at wide receiver. You have Debo and Jennings.
I know.
Could have had Kingsley Sumataya. He's on the Chiefs now. I'm not saying he's a day one great player, but would have helped you.
At least it's a plan. It's a plan. And again, it would make sense. Everybody would understand if you quote unquote redshirted a player like that, knowing that Trent is essentially gone after this year or in 2 years, maybe that player can take over at right tackle eventually next year, what have you. That makes a lot more sense. But you drafted a 24-year-old wide receiver who's not going to play a lot, barring a ton of injury, which that's just lucking. It's not lucking because your starters are going out, but that would be lucking into him playing versus you're going to redshirt him. I don't know. It just, the whole thing just doesn't make sense, but here we are.
It's really not the way you want to start the, I mean, can we just talk real quick about how the Niners rolled out their team this year? Hey, we're back. Yeah. We're the best team in the league. This is the year we are going to win the Super Bowl. No, Trent Williams isn't here per se. And yeah, Brandon Ayuk's here, but he's not really practicing. Fred Warner's here to talk, and he's talking about how brutal it is to start training camp and how exhausting it all is. And it's like, I don't know, man. It doesn't sound like a team that's about to have their best season.
You've got four players that are starters that aren't there for who knows how long. Trent Williams waiting on a contract. Ayuk waiting on a contract. Dre Greenlaw's not going to be there. I mean, he's injured, right? We knew that. Hufanga also not there, injured, recovering from an injury. Should be healthy soon, but that's, you know, four starters right there. Not that it's a big deal now. I mean, once you're getting pads, that's when I think things really start to matter, but that's only a few short days away. Like, they really got to get some of these things figured out.
Kyle Levy stands on dumb, says give B.A. Trent and Kyle Levy extensions too. Why not? I think Shanahan just got one last year. I think he's due for another one. It's been almost 12 months since he got an extension.
Yeah.
Okay, so the other news today, Brandon Ayuk showed up, walked by the media, was, dressed nicely, wasn't wearing 49ers gear per se, didn't practice at all, but he was there. He looked like he's in shape. What do you think of Brandon Ayuk showing up, holding in?
I think there's three different ways that this could have gone. Obviously, we know he could have held in, he could have held out, or he could have showed up in practice. If he showed up and practiced, then that's him basically saying, like, I know I'm going to play on the fifth-year deal. I've come to terms with that. Let's go. If he had held out, that tells me they're nowhere near close to a deal. But holding in is usually one of those things that players do when they know a deal is right around the corner and they want to be around the team. They know that they want to be in the film room and all those things, and it's not going to be long until they're actually on the field. Remember, Debo signed his deal the 31st of July, which was right around when the pads came on. Well, Brandon Ayuk holding in. Pads are right around the corner, I think early next week, Monday, what have you. So maybe that's the date that a deal gets done. And then it was reported today that he left the field early and went in with John Lynch. So how close are they? I mean, that's all encouraging. So I think him showing up is encouraging. If they're not close to a deal and he showed up, I do have to say that was a lot of bark in the offseason. And when it came down to it, no bite. You talked about wanting to be traded just a short week ago. If you're not close to a deal and you're showing up, it's like, dude, what happened to this tough guy I'm going to sit out thing? You know what I mean? I don't know.
And that's why I feel like my best guess is that they are close to a deal. What is your best guess?
I think they are close to a deal, yes.
Yeah. I mean, what's interesting is he seemed like he was so upset all offseason, but really, this timeline has been almost exactly the same as Debo's timeline. Nothing has been different. Two wide receivers, won a lot of money, made a trade request, made it public. But still, it seems like they're both, I mean, Debo got his extension before August, and it seems like Ayuk's right on schedule for that too.
Yeah, that's the hope anyways. They're going to need him.
I have a theory. Okay. What is the deal with these drawn-out negotiations? They're not smart. I mean, we can all kind of see it's an outdated way of doing things, especially at like quarterback and wide receiver where the market's exploding, and it really behooves teams to do it early before the next player sets the market. Asked John Lynch about it, and he's like, I would like to do it fast, which was an interesting answer. And it reminded me that he's not really in charge of contracts. It's not his expertise. The Niners have had a guy in charge of contracts since I was in freaking middle school. It's Parag Marate. And maybe that's just his calling card, his signature. He likes to be a ball buster to football players and tell them why they're not as good as they think. And maybe he likes that power struggle. And maybe everyone in the organization, Kyle, John, they're like, we need this guy. So look, player, try not to take it too personally. It's sort of his arena. And then once the season gets closer, we can sort of step in and close the deal. But you're going to have to survive Parag for a few months. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't understand. The only thing that I could think of when I heard that was that if you look at the way that the 49er contracts are written, from a money standpoint, they always cave in. Like, from what you would expect a player to get, they cave in. But what they always seem to mix into these contracts is an out after about two seasons. So is that it? Is that like the key? Is that the magic elixir to all their contracts that they have to have in there? And that's what holds things up? That's the only thing I can think of, because they do end up paying pretty much everybody. Pretty much everybody. But the problem with those types of contracts are exactly what we've come into with Trent Williams, CMC, is those deals having outs, which means a lot of the guaranteed money is no longer there. So you're forced to rework these deals anyways if you keep these players. So how good is that out if you never end up using it?
Good question. Fish and Chips says, questions asked by you, Brock Purdy, reply classy, Kyle Shanahan, schmuck. I thought Kyle's answers today were classy and professional. I just lobbed up some softballs about D winners and things that weren't critical, but he did great. And I thought, I always like Brock Purdy. I really enjoy covering him. He has been just a pleasure the last 3 years. I mean that.
A lot of introspective. I mean, I like how honest he is. I like how... what's interesting is yesterday, Shanahan on Tim Kawakami's podcast talked about how he does give his quarterbacks autonomy to call their own protections, but because the play design is so good, they shouldn't really need to worry about those things. But if a quarterback were to call his own protections or change a play, he's totally fine with it. And so that made me think, well, if that's the case, what about that play in the Super Bowl where they ran the double slants to the left and Ayuk was right there? That was the clear right read. Anytime that a player blitzes, you fill the blitz with the backside receiver. That one made sense. And sure enough, Brock Purdy today is like, yeah, I mean, if there's a play or two I could have back in the Super Bowl, that is certainly the one. I was supposed to read it inside out. When somebody blitzes, you're supposed to replace them. Brandon Ayuk was open. I hit that play. Maybe we win the game. You know, so it was refreshing to hear him say that, because what's not refreshing is Kyle Shanahan always being the smartest guy in the room and very rarely willing to take blame. Brock Purdy's the exact opposite, and I like that about him.
Barry, a baller 18, has been a member for darn near 3 years. Thank you very much, Eric. Up, Brady Hill says, do you both think extending Brock Purdy is a good idea? That's a complicated question.
Yeah, I mean,
is it a good idea to give him $65 million a year? Like, I'm not there yet.
Yeah, but I think that's really the great player. Thing is we don't need to make that. Like, the Packers right now are in a situation where they have to make that decision this offseason. Now, Jordan Love looked really good, but that was a small sample size. The 49ers don't have to make that decision right now. They can watch a whole nother year. And as long as he continues to do what he's doing, they're going to pay him. I also am of the thought that no quarterback is worth top tier money unless you're truly an elite quarterback. And I think only six or seven of those guys exist in the league at a time. And I don't believe Brock Purdy's one of those guys.
Yeah, I agree. 7NP says, it's funny how no other reporter held Kyle accountable for essentially calling you a liar. Yeah, it is funny. It's almost like they don't like me, which is weird. Jesse, I'm a nice guy.
Hey, you're nice to me.
It's true. I can't say I'm nice to everyone. I don't know. That's a fair answer. All right, let's talk about the rest that happened day one of camp. I talked about in the good and not so good. Isaac Garendo went down with a hamstring injury. Not a not a good day for Isaac Guerrero. It really hasn't looked good for him so far. I mean, the Niners can't stop the run. Anytime anyone runs the ball, Elijah Mitchell, Jordan Mason, Cody Schrader, Patrick Taylor Jr. I mean, people I've never heard of. 30-yard run, no one around him. Now, maybe when the tackling starts, it won't look like that. But right now, it looks like that, except for when Guerrero gets the ball, he like runs into an offensive lineman, or he trips, or he injures his hamstring. So he looks like a track guy who is trying to make an NFL team. And I don't know, man. So that was the not so good Guerrero, in addition to Pearsall, already hurt, two rookies. Who impressed me though, the Malik Mustafa. Mm-hmm. He's fast. He made a play from center field today on a pass from Josh Dobbs that was just awful. I mean, Danny Gray was open, pass was underthrown, and Mustafa did what a good safety should do in that situation, like get the hell over to the sideline and pick that thing off at the highest point. Hell of a play. Runs a 4.54. I didn't know how that would translate or if he'd be like some type of in the box hybrid player, but nah, it seems like you could put him in center field. He can cover ground or he's big enough to play in the box. So that's important. I mean, if Hufanga isn't ready to go week one, which who the hell knows, this guy looks like a player.
Well, I'll work through the not so good and then get to the good. So Guerrero has had a history of hamstring issues in college. Two separate times he's had a hamstring injury. Maybe Guerrero, his best path to making this roster is the route of Cam Latu, which is if you're hurt, then we can just end your season and you make the team by default. And then hopefully by next year, you can figure things out. We'll see. We'll see what ends up happening.
That happens. He looks like this year's Latu, honestly. It's early, but yeah.
Not a great start. Yeah. And for somebody who relies so much on speed to have a hamstring injury, that's really, really rough. So hopefully he can heal up quickly and at least have a shot at things. Who was your other not so good? Oh, Pearsall. Yeah, Pearsall. Not as worried about him because he doesn't rely on speed as much. And also he doesn't have the history, but it would be nice to have him out there. You know, it's one thing that's interesting is Robbie Gould talked about the rookie wall for kickers. And we've heard this before with other position players, how there's the rookie wall. Well, a lot of that is because you're consistently working out, trying to perform, trying to get drafted. Then you're on a team, you're in OTAs, you have your 40 days away where you're trying to get ready to impress again. And when you look at Ricky Pearsall wearing the blue non-contact jersey, now also pulling a hamstring, maybe it's just that he's a rookie and he's not going to be fit to make it through a whole season, which is fine. He wouldn't be the first guy. Drake Jackson, we know, hit the rookie wall, although he hit it again in his second year, which is weird. But Malik Mustafa, let's talk about him for a second. I don't know if you caught this, and maybe it was a Freudian slip by Kyle Shanahan, but he was asked about Mustafa, then he was asked about Tig, and he talked about how good Tig looked last year when he came in for Talanoa Hufanga. And then he said, well, the longer that Hufanga's out, the more reps Tig will get, and that's a good thing for him. Has he already decided that Hufanga and Malik Mustafa are his starters at safety? Or was that just a Freudian slip? I don't know, but I thought that was an interesting takeaway from today.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's highly likely that Mustafa will be starting. I mean, I don't know what the issue is with Hufanga. Don't know how long it's going to take. He talked to the media a few weeks ago, and he was pretty much saying, like, look, guys, I don't want to get your hopes up. I'm working as hard as I can, but got to be smart. So if he misses most of training camp and he's healthy, quote unquote, week one, is he ready week one? I don't know. And will they rush him out there if Malik Mustafa is playing really well? So that's a guy to watch. Any safety who could make a play on the first day of camp as a rookie, Jair Brown didn't do that. So I'm interested.
Well, let's think about this. Let's say Hufanga is ready to go. Why not run two linebackers? Because Dre Greenlaw is already out. Maybe you don't trust these linebackers. Hufanga can be like your slot corner, your nickel corner, but he's basically a hybrid linebacker. Maybe that's your base defense.
I love that. Because from what I saw from Devondre Campbell today, and the not so good. I mean, he gave up a 20-yard catch to Eric Sobert, who was running in slow motion. The both of them are running in slow motion. So Not sure about Campbell, but D Winters also looks good. Hard to judge safeties and linebackers in these practices, but here's what I'm seeing from D Winters. Anytime there's an outside run to his side or a check down to his side, he is at the sideline so fast. He seems to have that speed and explosion that you're looking for. Now, how good is he at tackling? Will he just throw himself and fall off? I don't know if he can finish the play, but right now it looks like he's getting from his spot to the sideline extremely fast. Jalen Graham also looks good, but he's playing middle linebacker. If they're looking for like a weak side linebacker to pair with Fred Warner, I think it's D Winters.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're saying Graham's playing more of the Fred Warner role?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
He's tall like him. He's a problem in zone coverage like him. It's tough to throw over him. He's right in the middle. But if you're looking for a Dre Greenlaw, I just don't know if D Winters is violent like Dre Greenlaw. Dre Greenlaw is fast and then he hurts you and gets 15-yard penalty. I don't know if D Winters is like that. Maybe he's a finesse linebacker. Don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we're going to find that out. I really like Graham a lot. I liked him a lot last year during training camp. And yeah, I mean, it does come down to what position you play. So if Fred goes out, maybe he makes sense to fill in for him and D Winters makes sense to start alongside him. I don't know. We'll see. But some good young linebackers.
Another thing I want to look, Danny Gray looked decent today. He got open deep and Jacob Cowan got open deep and neither one got a good throw. I'd like to know, there's some pressure on Brock this year to air it out deep, man. You got some serious speed on your team this year, unlike in the past. Not just Brandon Ayuk, but Cowing is super duper fast. Gray is super duper fast. And Pearsall is supposed to be low 4.4s. That's fast. Yeah. So that's a whole, there's so much effort to stop the big four on the offense. A home run hitter like those guys should be able to have some 70-yard touchdowns this year if Brock can hit him. And so far in games, he's been pretty good at that. I want to see that.
Yeah, I think Brock's biggest way to kind of get around, you know, there's some quarterbacks where it's like, it doesn't matter the receiver. You're not going to outrun how far I can throw this thing. Like you're going to run out of field before you outrun my ball. Now, Brock's not one of those guys, but he doesn't have to be one of those guys. What he can do is win with anticipation. And if he's making that decision very, very early to uncork the ball, he can still make a lot of plays downfield with these guys, but it will be a little bit of a change in the fact that you didn't have a lot of guys that can run these go routes, and now you potentially do. I think that makes this offense a lot of fun.
I think so too. Trying to think of who else stood out today that was
Can I ask you about Hargrave? He looked really good in pictures. Last year, you were the only person that said that you felt like he was out of shape, and then he came back and said he was out of shape. What did you think of him today?
I don't know about, like, maybe he's in better shape, but first play of 11 on 11s, he was offsides. And they couldn't stop any runs today. So I don't know, man. They had Leonard Floyd, Malik Collins starting. It seemed like the offense got whatever the hell it wanted on the ground. Maybe it was just because there were no pads up. But
yeah,
I don't know about that.
We'll see when pads come on, but usually defenses are ahead of the offense when pads come on. If the offense is ahead of the defense, I think that might be a little concerning, but we'll see.
Usually when the Niners defense is at its best, when the Niners try to run the ball, they have three or four guys not tackling him, but in his face, breathing down his ear hole, telling him, no, sir, like 4 yards downfield. Today, it was just running and running and running and nonstop running from all the running backs except Garendo. So, and that was with Bosa out there and Fred Warner out there, just like last year. So maybe, I don't know, maybe it's not an issue anymore, but today was an issue.
Well, I think Hufanga is also very important. I mean, him and Greenlaw not being there, we'll see how long they can work around it, but I think both those players are very important in the run game.
Daza asks, are the Niners setting a precedent by extending veterans when they ask for an extension? What's to stop other players in the future from doing this? Well, I think we're seeing that right now. Christian asks, Niners cave in 2 weeks. Trent Williams gets a bright idea.
Yeah. I think we are seeing the results of that. But
it's almost like with your kids, right? Like if Maddox asks for something and you cave instantly, your other kid's going to be like, boom, what about me? Dalton.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah, absolutely.
Smart move.
As they should.
Smart move. Yeah, you almost kind of respect that. If it's like, okay, yeah. Well, you assess the situation well. Matt McEwen's been a member for 11 months. Thank you, Matt. Love you, Matt. Knees says, Grant, sounds like maybe your peers don't respect you. You know what that calls for? A mustache. My peers don't respect me? Man. But do I respect them?
Oh, it's a big question.
Yeah.
We know Matt Maoka respects you and you respect him, so that's good.
I absolutely do. Corey Soto says, how are Purdy and Ayuk supposed to practice the deep ball doink off the helmet catch when BA is sitting out? That is a great question. That was just chemistry.
Like they drew it up. Yeah.
Wayne L. Payne asks, what kind of contract is it going to take to get Big Trent back in the building?
I don't think that the overall money or the dollar amount and what it counts towards the salary will change. It's just how it's worked out. It'll be a signing bonus that is broken up over 5 years, even though he's only going to play two. And then for 3 years, they'll pay for him to not be here.
I don't know what he wants. I mean, maybe he saw Penei Sewell get $28 million a year and become the highest paid offensive lineman. And Trent's ego said, no, I'm better than Penei Sewell. I want $28 million a year. Just like with Ayuk, right? Like, oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown. The Lions are really screwing over the Niners on this. All offseason.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, Amon-Ra St. Brown got 30. I want 30. Sewell got 28. I want 28. I'm better than him. You told me I was better than him. We played the Lions this year. You gassed me up all week. I remember that. No, I want 28 and guaranteed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair is fair.
It is true. The Lions are certainly pouring salt in the 49ers game, whether intentionally or unintentionally.
I mean, how much money do they give Jared Goff?
Well, the other thing, though, about the Lions is, Grant, they're doing it a year early because they know that that number is only going to keep going up for all these guys.
That's true. So just
pay them after 3 years instead of 4 years is what they've chosen to do with their players.
Jared Goff's getting $53 million a year on average. 4 years, 212, $53 million, which again is like, how could the Niners possibly offer Brock less than that? You know he's better than Jared Goff. I'm sure you've told him he's better than Jared Goff. The team knows he's better than Jared Goff. $53 million is the starting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Slap in the face if you offer him $53 million a year, because you're saying you think he's no better than Jared Goff. So, Parag, how are you going to handle this one?
Yeah. I'm curious to see how long that one drags out.
I'm crazy.
Yeah. How long does that? I think the Tua deal, the Love deal, and the Dak deal are all going to make this really interesting as well.
Super duper interesting. Matt McEwen says, sorry, guys. News been so redundant. I'm so glad training camp is here. Let's effing go.
It's been a while, freaking Matt. Good to see you.
Good to see you too, Matt. I completely understand Ayuk fatigue. All right. Let's talk about the sponsor of the show, Via Hemp, sponsoring 49ers After Dark, sponsored Jesse's show yesterday. If you're looking for premium hemp products that can be mailed to you in any state that you could be in Alabama. They will mail it to you. Check out Viahemp, V-I-I-A. They make products that I really like. Like, they have stuff with no THC, CBD only. This is called Zen. And one, why do I like it? One, I like things that help me sleep. I don't sleep so good. I fall asleep and then I wake up at 2 a.m. and I think about my whole life from beginning to end. I start when I'm a baby and then I make it to 36 and I can do it in about an hour. It's very exhausting. So instead of thinking about my whole life, I just take two of these little Zen sleep gummies and I'm good. And then I wake up in the morning and then say, let's say I want to play golf. Boom. I got a CBD non-THC gummy for the focus flow state, which you're trying so hard to achieve when you play golf. This helps me. This is why I'm so good at golf. And then when I go home and I'm upset that I shot a 106 or a 114 or something god awful, they have Revive, which helps me calm down and get ready for the end. But really what this helps me do is do my job, because I wouldn't be the insider that I am if I wasn't getting the sleep that I need and the golf that I require. So these three really help me out. If you are looking for something more potent, they have things called Elevate, which will literally raise you off the ground. It's incredible. This is dream for sleeping as well. Cloud 9 for just feeling good. And then High Love, which I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. I haven't taken it yet, but it sounds incredible. So if you're looking for premium products, you know what I'm talking about, Jesse. You've tried these sleep gummies.
The sleep gummy for me was so clutch, because I'm the exact same way. Dude, I respond to people at like 3 a.m. on Twitter. It's absolutely ridiculous. So for me, just getting a good night's sleep is crucial, and it has helped me. So I appreciate it.
One more
them.
Thing about these two. I don't know about you, but I just like gummies in general. Gummy bears, Sour Patch Kids. If it's in gummy form and it's like maybe a little sour, I'm in. These are delicious. They just taste good. And they're in really nice little bottles, which I think, the little touches matter. If it came in like a whack bottle and it tasted terrible, how could I in good conscience recommend these to you? I couldn't, but I can, because they're just delicious. And they work for me and for Jesse. So if you want to try them, check out the link at the bottom and use promo code CONE. That's if you're 21 and over. Check out the link in the description to receive 15% off your order. That's the key. 15%. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
So again, the link's right there on the screen. It's in the description, promo code CONE. This is one heck of an offer. Thank you, Via. Okay. Kyle Shanahan said something interesting in his interview with Tim Kawakami. He said that the Niners should have 3 Super Bowl victories right now. This one, the one over the Chiefs, they should have beaten both times, and that they should have beaten the Rams in the NFC Championship game, and then they would have beaten the Bengals after that. And he just, for the life of him, can't figure out why. I don't think he said that last part, but it's implied that, I don't know what happened. We should have had these rings, and they're gone. What do you think of that? Why?
Well, I know where you're going to go with it, because I saw your response on Twitter, and I agree with you. Who I'm going to put most of the blame on, and it is Kyle, but I'm going to do it probably for different reasons than you, and I'll save your take. For me, the biggest reason they don't have a ring is because they decided to keep rolling with Jimmy Garoppolo when you had the greatest quarterback of all time wanting to play for you. And he talked about that also in the interview. He's like, listen, at the time, like, Jimmy Garoppolo was 27 and we thought he was ascending and he came off of an injury and we thought he played really good. And we just said no, because we didn't know how much Tom Brady had left. And then I said to myself, if I ever get that chance again, I'm not going to make the same mistake. And that's why I was trying to recruit him last year, because we didn't know what was going to happen with Brock Purdy, who also, by the way, is a young quarterback who's ascending. You get the picture. So interesting that the second time around, with the much better player in Brock Purdy over Jimmy Garoppolo, you would have made the decision to bring in a much older Brady at that time, who was clearly declining. But I digress. The reason they don't have a ring is because of the quarterback position, and the quarterback position is all as a result of Kyle Shanahan and his decisions. Didn't scout Patrick Mahomes. Had Tom Brady fall in his lap. Chose Jimmy Garoppolo. By the love of God, I don't know how the hell he did that or even thought that was a good idea, but he did. They don't have a ring. That is why. And it falls on Kyle Shanahan.
I mean, even if he had drafted Patrick Mahomes, he would have messed it up. He would have found a way to not win the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
like,
possibly.
I'm sorry. Like, to me, with Kyle, it's like, okay, he goes to the Super Bowl the first time and they lose and they had the lead late. But you could be like, all right, okay. But like his quarterback was legitimately not good and played poorly in the game. Missed off. That was all true. So he gets back 4 years later and the quarterback is objectively better. And Brock doesn't like light it up in the Super Bowl, but he's not bad. You could say he's mid, but like he was one of the better players in the offense. He was better than anyway, Brock, you have a much better quarterback. Raheem Mostert was excellent. You have the offensive player of the year at running back. Emmanuel Sanders was really good. You have Brandon Ayuk, who's better. So you come back the second time with you have Trent Williams this time. You didn't have him the first time. A much better team on offense. And in the first game, you scored 20 points. And in the second one, you scored 19 in regulation. So, genius. It's got to be you, Mr. Genius, because you can't tell me that cast of characters on offense isn't as good as it looks, because it is that good. Someone is mismanaging it when the pressure's on in that one time. I don't know who it is, though.
Well, knowing you, Grant, I think I'm going to have to go check the scores. Are you sure they only scored 20 and 19 in those games?
Yo, are you ready for me to get knowing you into a key question for Kyle after the game? I'm going to wait like 3 months, maybe playoffs, but like so in like good. A really innocuous way. Like, Kyle, knowing you, you know, I'm going to do that.
I know it's going to be good. And the callback's going to be great. He's not going to remember it, but we all.
Oh, will. I'm going to wait a long time. It's going to be perfect. Can't wait. That's the best
It'll
way
be
to get
right after another Super Bowl loss. You know, knowing you, you're going to take this one pretty hard, right?
That's the best way to get revenge. Like, you don't want to get it in the moment when you're upset because you want the other person to almost forget that they did that. And I'm not mad at Kyle. My dad came on yesterday and he was a protective dad. He was all worked up. I'm not mad. But I want to do it back to him. Knowing you with a smile. Just like he said it with a smile, you know, hey, we're cool, man. We're buds.
Give a little laugh afterwards. Yeah, man. Here's the thing is you can go game by game. And this last game, for example, I mean, we can talk about CMC and the fumble. That was crucial. We can talk about the muffed punt. We can talk about Trent Williams and his penalties. We can talk about how they couldn't move the ball after a key interception to start the second half. And certainly players do shoulder some of the blame. I mean, it can't all be one person, but man, you're the consistent theme. And even though the team is getting better and you acknowledge it's the best team in the league, you probably think you're one of the better coaches in the league, if not the best. Like, man, at some point, dude, it's hard. It really is hard to defend. It not being Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah. And I don't want to hear like, oh, it's not my fault, this or that. Like, don't talk to me about whose fault it was. Think about it from the other perspective, not a negative perspective, a positive perspective. You're a great coach. That's a great team. You had a lead in the second half. You should be able, because you're so good and this team is so good, to find a way to finish. We're talking about finishers. You're supposed to be one. And all you've shown is that you're not. That when you have the lead in the fourth quarter or overtime, you don't have a plan to close the deal on third down, on fourth down, in the red zone. It's kick a field goal and ask Steve Wilks to win the game. That's your plan. So, yeah, it's on you, man. You can't blame Brock this time, although Aqib Talib did, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit.
Yeah, that was interesting. Yeah, man, the Super Bowl thing... He's got to get over the hump. He's got it. And what's interesting, again, I don't think he means to do this, but you're saying we talk about, because you made it twice, like, man, you blew two Super Bowls, but you basically are like, nah, man, I blew three. Like, I should have three rings, not just two. Like, okay, well, you think you should have three rings and you have zero? Like, that's pretty rough.
And what's crazy about, like, the last two, like the one against the Rams and this one, against the Chiefs, this most recent one, you go back to the fourth quarter and overtime of those games, there are fourth downs late where the Niners have the ball in the opponent's territory. And it's not like fourth and 10 or anything. It's fourth and manageable. And they punt or kick field goals. And it's hard. That is one way to point to Kyle. Like, man, would Andy Reid do that? Or would Andy Reid say, I got to play. I got to freaking play. I feel like we're going to pick this up. I have confidence in my team and my play. Let's go. And I don't want to win it with my freaking defense. Like, it's a good defense. It's a number two defense in the league, but we're going to win it with our quarterback and me. So here we go. Kyle's not like that.
Well, the third down is super crucial. Running on third down, first of all, it still gives you an opportunity to pick up a first down because sometimes you're catching them off guard. Think back to the divisional round against the Green Bay Packers in at Lambeau Field where Debo Samuel picked up like a 7-yard, 8-yard run on third and seven. That was a crucial play. So if you run the ball on third down, you still might get a first down and you're almost guaranteeing positive yards versus throwing in those situations. If it's an incomplete pass or you get sacked, you're in a bad spot and you might pick up the first down. And if you don't, you're at least closer. And now you've got a real decision to make. It comes down to those third downs more importantly than the fourth. It's like, man, if you think there's a possibility that you should go for it, you should probably be running the ball on those third downs and seeing what happens.
Yeah, I would think so. I would think so.
Yeah.
Matt McEwen says BA fatigue. LOL. Sorry, just had to deload.
Nice.
Deloading. Fish and Chip says next season I'm holding out of the off season. Please don't.
How much do we need to pay you, Fish and Chips?
JC says first superpower, quit using Debo. I'm gonna come back to day one thoughts at the end, but I want to talk about Aqib Talib first. He said that. Well, you say what Aqib Talib said, football analyst Aqib Talib.
Yeah, well, it was short, and it was actually to praise Brandon Ayuk. He said that he believes Brandon Ayuk's a top three receiver in the game. And he, in talking him up, he's like, listen, I don't care about the stats. And by the way, the stats would be better if he had a capable quarterback throwing him the football. Like, not even just a good quarterback, but like a capable quarterback. Was crazy. And then he talked about how he looks at his route running and just all the things that he brings to the table, his hands, and just how easily he gets open. And he thinks that Brandon Ayuk would be an extremely tough cover. He has him as a top three receiver in the game. He thinks the 49ers should pay him, but he also thinks that Brock Purdy is holding him back in a big way. And I find that interesting. I mean, I personally think that it's not Brock that's holding him back. I think it's Kyle that's probably holding him back. I think Brock did a good job getting him the ball a lot this season. I think that's why he had the best season. And I think that he's tailor-made to play with Brock Purdy. But Kyle Shanahan is the one that ultimately is making the decision on who his number one reads are time in and time out. And we saw in a Super Bowl, he featured Debo Samuel, not Brandon Ayuk. So I don't put it on Brock, but that was pretty damning to say about Brock, I would say.
He has like a fair point. Like, Brock isn't Josh Allen. So if you put Brandon Ayuk on the Bills with Josh Allen, he might put up 1,700 yards in a season. He really might, mm-hmm. because they're a great fit and there's really no one else to take targets away from him. So that's true. But is Brock holding him back or is Kyle holding him back? I mean, Brock doesn't have the big arm, but Brock's still a pretty good deep throw. Like, look at Tua. Tua has a weak arm, but he gets the ball deep to Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle consistently, no problem. So Brock could do it, not as well as Josh Allen, but he could do it as well as Tua, who does it pretty well, but it's just not what the Niners are built to do. It's not what Kyle wants to do. It's not something he calls very much or practices very much. So I put it more on Kyle.
Yeah, I agree with that. And the exact quote was, you get him a real quarterback.
See, that's just weird and dismissive.
That's so.
And it's like you can say that about Brock, man, but you couldn't say that about if you said get him a real coach, and he'd be a top three. Well, you can't say that about Kyle Shanahan. He's so good. What about Brock? Why is Brock not a real quarterback?
Yeah, I mean that implies like he's not even starting level quarterback in this league, which he's a starter in this league. I don't care what you think about Brock Purdy. He clearly could start in this league. That was a bit over the top. That was a bit over the top. But let's talk about it from the other side, though. Thinking Brandon Ayuk's a top three receiver, I mean, that's a bold claim. Let's think of all the... We had him around number 10. We just did this list a week ago, Grant, and we had him around number 10. Having Brandon Ayuk as a top three receiver, that's a bold claim as well.
I don't know about that, man. Like, I was having this discussion with my friend I went to high school with, who was the quarterback on the team at O'Dowd, so he's a better football analyst than me. And I was saying, like, okay, well, you know, Ayuk has a point, you know? Like, if Jalen Waddle got $28 million a year, how can you not offer him that? And my friend Milt, shout out Milt, was like, well, forgive me for saying this, but I'd rather have Jalen Waddle than Brandon Ayuk. And I was like, well, why? And he's like, well, he's faster. It's like, if you're going to press Ayuk and Waddle, I'm more scared of Waddle. Because as good of a route runner as Brandon Ayuk is, it's going to take him a minute to uncover from that press man coverage. And if the guy's a really good corner, he may not uncover, and he's definitely not going to run by it. Whereas Jalen Waddle, I mean, if you don't get your hands on him, goodbye, good night, touchdown. I can kind of see where he's coming from with that. Like, if you traded Ayuk for Waddle 1-for-1, would the Niners offense be worse?
It'd be different, that's for sure.
It'd be different. Would it be better?
Maybe. I don't know if it'd be worse. Yeah.
I don't know if it'd be worse.
Yeah. I mean, I guess my biggest issue with Waddle is, and he was supremely talented coming out of college, good player, but he has injury issues too. I mean, best abilities, availability. Now, one thing I will say about Brandon Ayuk, and I do tend to agree with this. When you look at Brandon Ayuk in a vacuum, he's not a dynamic player. He's not the Deebo Samuel. He's not the Tyreek Hill. He's not a guy that's single-handedly going to bust a game open usually, but he's like death by a thousand cuts. And there are a lot of good receivers that were death by a thousand cuts. You look at guys like Fitzgerald. You look at Davante Adams, made a whole career out of it. Anquan Boldin. There's a lot of players that aren't your home run threats, but they're just so consistent. They always get open. They always make the catch when they need to. And I feel like BA fits that mold.
I agree. I absolutely agree. Okay.
But top three is a bit rich.
Yeah, I think it is. And there's some really talented wide receivers out there. I want to talk more about day one. Deebo is interesting. So Deebo is the anti-Ayuk this year. It's like Ayuk doesn't want to be here. I do. Ayuk's unhappy. I want to stay here long term, especially because if you extend Ayuk, you're probably going to have to get rid of me. So he practices. He's in great shape. I used to call him a double Deebo with cheese. He doesn't look like that anymore. He looks like prime Deebo. And yet, he still is the same to me. He had a rep today against Isaac Yiadom, not Tre'Davious Ward, not D'Amador Lenore, Isaac Yiadom, up the left sideline. And it was just like light work for Yiadom. Just squeezed the space, pushed him out of bounds, turned around. I mean, it was just easy. And then later, they manufactured a touch for Deebo on a deep crossing route against zone. He's wide open, and the ball's just a little below his waist. Just has to go from here to here. And he drops it. It's like, yeah. So, hey, man, you can have the best intentions, be in the best shape. That doesn't magically make you a real wide receiver. Like, you're still a gadget player. And you always have been. You always will be. So, that's okay. When it's real football and they have to tackle, he's great. But that's not all magically going to go away this year because he trained harder.
Yeah, I think what will go away, hopefully, is the missing games every year. Hopefully he can stay healthier. And when he does get into the open field, he'll break away a little bit more. Like, those are the things that you hope for. But yeah, the route running and stuff, I mean, that's years and years and years of perfection. And it's interesting because when I heard about the Yiadom play, and I don't even think I heard it from you, or I just read it on Twitter or something. Either way, when I read it or heard about it, that's the first thing I thought of is like, Deebo still can't beat man. That's crazy.
So I thought,
and it's non-pads. It's non-pads.
It's a tough matchup for Deebo, but I'm thinking, here we go.
But receivers should be winning in this, like the non-pad version. This is when receivers, like, you're running mostly against air. Yeah, there's a guy there, but it's like one-on-one drills. When the receiver does a one-on-one drill, if the receiver doesn't beat whoever's in front of them, something's up, because it's meant for the receiver to win. So either the player across from them is great. Yeah, I'm sure he would have. I'm sure.
Sorry, no. Yeah. So that was the first impression of Debo. More on the offensive line. Right guard seems up for grabs. I don't think there's a favorite to win there. And like the first rep at right guard, team drills was Spencer Burford. Okay. And he looks great. He looks like he's in terrific shape. He looks like he's like such a good athlete. I'll know if he plays like that. But of the him, Pooney, and Feliciano, like in terms of their bodies, it's like Spencer Burford up here and then Pooney way down here and then Feliciano like way down here. Now, Feliciano might be the best of the three. But just in terms of like athleticism, it looks like it would be great if Burford could win this job and maybe Pooney will. Pooney doesn't look like he really has an NFL body just yet. Maybe he can contribute, but Burford looks way more built and put together than Pooney right now.
Burford is a tackle. That's why. Yeah. Maybe Burford should be your right tackle. Maybe that's why, because
seriously,
tackles are usually more impressive. They have quicker foot movement. They look better. They're elongated. Mm-hmm. Your guards are usually frumpy and kind of dopey looking, but they're strong. They anchor. All yes. those things. And that's not Burford. He's not the strong guy who low man wins and anchors. He's your athletic guy who you probably want going against speed rushers. So I don't know, man. I think when I look at Burford, I always thought he was better suited at right tackle. I always thought that. And it sounds like he's still better suited at right tackle, but maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah. It would be interesting to see him get a chance there because it's not like Colton McKivitz is so athletic or, who's the backup right tackle? L. Ron Hubbard? Who is it? Scientologist?
Isn't L. Ron Hubbard the Scientologist?
It's the other Hubbard, right? It's his son, Chuba Hubbard. L. Ron Hubbard's son. Excuse me. Sorry about that. Sorry. L. Ron Hubbard passed away. Shout out to Scientologists everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he's going to get it done. I don't know. Why not?
Nice. Nice. That was great. Nice.
Yeah. Who else stood out?
Brendel was back.
Watson
right?
caught the ball today in warmups. It was incredible. Now he didn't get any targets in team drills, but like baby steps. I didn't see him drop a pass today. How about that?
That's good. That's very good. Yeah. Brendel was back after having some knee tendonitis. He looked pretty good. Yeah.
Good to see. Good to see. That's about all I got. Lenore wasn't as good as I thought he would be. He got targeted a couple times, got beat. I thought he was going to be shutting people down this offseason. This is just one day, though. But it was clearly Treverius Ward, Yotam, Lenore today. That was the pecking order. It almost made me feel like, man, maybe Yotam should start. Looks good. But it was just one day.
It's one day. And he went against Debo.
I like making overreactions after one day. It's my favorite thing to do. And then completely contradicting myself and changing my mind the next day. You got to keep it interesting, you know?
We go off of day one.
Yeah.
Lenore is benched. Yotam's in.
Yep. Mustafa is an all-pro.
Yep. Burford is clearly your right guard.
This team's giving up 2,500 yards on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just the worst run defense. I mean, McCaffrey and Purdy both going down week two because this offensive line. Yikes. Other than that, it looks like a great team. Super Bowl bound.
Should be a Super Bowl. Yeah.
Rome Gut Level says, I'll be there Friday. Is the fan section different? You've been there. You actually have a better view from the fan section than you do from the side of the field, in my opinion, because you're elevated a little bit. You get a little bit of an angle.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I mean, the players are big. I don't know if. For those of you that have ever gone to a game, and some of the stadiums aren't built the best, if you've tried to like, hey, I'm going to sit 50-yard line front row, bad idea. Those players are so big, you can't really see plays develop. You kind of want to be a little higher. So what I do strategically is try to get to the middle of the bleachers and get to the far back so I can stand on the back bleacher and see as much as possible. So that's what I would recommend.
Sometimes I wish I'd just pay the fee and just be a fan. And, you know, like, I think this is better access. Frankly, Dazza 0187 says, how can they pay Brock Purdy $55 to $65 million per year yet rely on defense and running the ball to win? Oh, that's the question. Shouldn't he be the reason the team wins paying that much? Well, I think we're fast forwarding to what we're going to talk about all of next offseason. But
all offseason.
That's the whole issue right there, Dazza. I agree.
Yeah, that's the elite quarterback thing that I was referring to.
Thomas De La Cruz says, trade Ayuk and tell these guys to quit crying. Yeah, Parag, tell them to quit crying. That'll go over well.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure Trent should just quit crying and maybe ask for the money back from CMC. He should quit crying. All of them.
Oh, man. I don't know if you've noticed me like wincing hard in this game. I have sciatica and it's just...
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it'll go away. It attacks me like for like a week every few months. And I don't know why or what happened, but it's a solid week of just like, ow!
Do you have a desk like I have where you can move it up and down? See this here?
No. Maybe that's why.
Yes.
Time for me to go ergonomic.
And then you don't have to sit. Yeah.
I like that. Standing desk. Pretty clutch. All right. Again, thanks for watching 49ers After Dark, sponsored by Via Hemp. If you're looking for some premium hemp products, look at the link in the description. Use promo code CONE for 15% off. It'll be delivered to any state in the country.
In the whole country.
I had a friend in high school who was one of the best high school football players in the country. And he was ranked top five in this little like magazine. It's like 04. And we all played baseball together. He was great at every sport. And one of my friends went up to him and was like, hey, man, I heard you're top five in the nation. He was like, hey, man, I don't know about the nation, but I'm top five in the country. And it was the best thing I've ever heard in my life. I don't know about the nation. Like, yo, slow down.
You can't get it all.
Man. I'm a humble. You know, I don't know about that nation, but the country.
Yeah, top five. You know what that reminds me of? It's like Dumb and Dumber. When he's like, hey, you know, let's meet 7:45. She's like, he says, let's meet at 7:45. He's like, make it 7:45. She's like, okay. All right. 7:45 it is.
Bronx back up at the University of Arizona. And
did he really?
He didn't end up going to the NFL, but I still think he could have been a great baseball player. He just wanted to play football. And I think baseball is the kind of thing you kind of have to commit to around 15. You can't dabble in it. But God. He was so good. AJ Simmons, he would play freshman baseball with us. He was like on varsity, but to get extra work, he would play with us. And he was so big, the helmet didn't fit on his head. And he would use the biggest bat that no one could freaking swing. And he'd be the kind of guy to be standing there and the team would be like, this isn't fair. Wait a second. It's like, oh yeah, it is, baby. It's high school. Let's go. Yeah. Throw the ball to AJ, see what happens.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did he pitch too?
People didn't have that reaction when I played. When I got in the batter's box, all 6 feet, 165 of me, no one was intimidated when I dropped the butt down the third baseline. They should have seen it coming, though. Yeah.
What position did he play in baseball? Was he a center fielder, pitcher?
I want to say
baseman?
He played center field. Yeah. I mean, he was a tight end in football. He played center field for us. He was a monster. And we were all so sure he was going to be we thought he was going to be Rob Gronkowski. But
isn't that crazy how you get around athletes like that are so much better than everybody, and then they get around athletes that are so much better than them? It's just like the amount of levels there are to it.
Yeah, and I thought I was going to be a pro athlete when I was 14. Funny. I blame puberty, really. I could, if I were 6'4", maybe.
Although I'll say this, I had a friend who the Oregon State Beavers won back-to-back national champions like 2002, 2003 timeframe. And my friend was the closing pitcher on that team. He's small. He's like 5'10", 170, and he made it pro ball. He played pro ball for a little bit. So you don't necessarily have to be big, but
that's pretty cool. Pitcher. Yeah. I played JV baseball. That's kind of like pro ball.
Basically the same exact thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. Thanks for watching, everyone. Make sure to like and subscribe. Follow Last Second Sports and me. Subscribe. All the things that you could do, do them right now, and then do it all over again tomorrow when the Niners play again. When I say play, we're talking practice.
Talking about practice.
Not a game.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.